one verse of scripture. We've been preaching on prayer, and I hope you've been enjoying this time where we've been talking about communing with God and praying and seeking his face. And we need to pray. Christian, prayer is essential. It is the power of your life. It's the heartbeat of your Christianity. And when you pray, devils have to flee, the enemy has to back off, and the blessings of the Lord are released in your life, all because you prayed. Now, prayer doesn't mean you won't have difficulty. Prayer just will get you through it. Come on, somebody. How many have had to pray through some difficulty? Amen. And so prayer is essential. And today I want to talk to you about the God who hears us when we pray. O thou that hearest prayer. I love that verse. O thou that hearest prayer. And I love the thou. The thou just gets me. Amen. It feels like God just spoke. Amen. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I want to preach to you this thought this morning. God is not ignoring you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. I thank you that you hear prayer. I pray, God, that you'll help me to teach and to share what you've placed in my heart. I pray that the same anointing in which it came upon me, Lord, will be upon the people this morning. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you're saying. I pray, God, that my hands and my feet and my heart would belong solely and only to you, and that every word would be yours, Heavenly Father. Move in this place this morning. Glory and honor belongs to you. We would never try to take it from you. For whatever you accomplish in this service, God, we will return the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. O thou that hearest prayer. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to be ignored. I always find it interesting on what pitch and what level of voice my kids can hear. If I whisper cupcake, my kids can hear that outside. If I say, I need your help, for some reason, they could never hear that. I've come to the conclusion that my kids like to ignore me. And so I've learned that different levels of my voice can get better attention. And I've learned that the sternness of the way I say it can really effectively get my children to move. They might be in the living room watching television, and if I say, hey, come here. It's amazing how long it takes them to come here. If I say, we're going to go get something as a snack, we're going to Sonic for some Sonic Blast, or going to Baskin Robbins for ice cream, it's amazing how quick they jump and move and respond. And so in order for me to get my children to respond, I've learned that if they don't like it, I've got to say it a certain way. I can't just say, hey, come here. I got to say, hey! Get over here. You know what I'm talking about? How many parents understand what I'm talking about? And something in their brain clicks when they hear the authoritative tone. And they tend to ignore me when I try to give them advice. You ever give your children advice and they ignore you? Nothing more irritating than that. I have hurt myself in so many ways you just can't imagine. I've broken bones and hurt myself playing as a child. I've learned some very valuable lessons in playing outside. And so I've tried to distribute that information to my children. I call it wisdom. They call it bothering them. And so I have told my children on a number of occasions, when you ride a skateboard, you do not sit on it. You do not put your knee on it and pedal with one foot. Because if you hit a rock, you will thank God you were not sitting on it, or you weren't on your knee, because I personally have injured my body many ways doing just that. Just the other day, my children were outside. They had the skateboards outside, and all of a sudden, I hear a scream, a blood-curdling scream, and it was the scream of my child doing exactly what I told her not to do. She ran over her little finger, ripped her fingernail right off, because she was riding the skateboard just the way I told her not to do it. And you know, I was upset as a father. Not, I was upset because my child was hurt, for one. I was upset because she was crying and I couldn't fix it. You know, as a parent, you want to fix the pain. If you could take it away, you'd take it away. I wanted to take it away and I couldn't do it. I couldn't fix it. And I was upset and I was really mad that I was ignored. That the wisdom I gave was ignored. And I think some of you have got children raised, they're still ignoring your wisdom. I got a feeling it don't change. Amen. But I am so glad that when I cry out to God, He is not like my children. That He hears every word that I say. And He understands the very tone of my voice and the cry that I don't even have to utter with words, but comes from the very depth of my own heart. And He understands me more than you can understand me. You might be able to see my tears, but He takes them and puts them in His bottle so that He can remember them. He knows the cry of my heart, and He holds me and understands me more in detail than anybody else can understand me. So when you hear me cry, it might just be tears to you, but He can interpret them. Not only can He hear me, but He hears me better than anybody else. You know, I think in times we feel as we pray, God, where are you? Or what's going on? How come you haven't showed up? Or Lord, we need you at this moment. We need you right now. And sometimes we don't see the answer right there. And so we think in our mind, maybe He's not listening. But I want you to know the Bible says, oh, thou that hearest prayer. He hears your prayer. When you cry, He hears you. When you speak, He hears you. He is not ignoring you. He's not putting you off. He's not saying, I don't need to listen to you. He listens to every word you say. I read a beautiful story about some missionaries that went off an island off of the South China coast. There's about seven of them, and when they got on the island, they discovered there's about 6,000 homes there on the island. They were preaching the gospel of Christ and trying to spread the word. They found it very difficult there because the people of the island had been worshiping an idol, and they had a yearly celebration that celebrated this idol. And they couldn't win anyone to God because they would not turn from their idol worship. So they decided to ask the question to the people, how come you will not come and serve God? And they said, because every year we have a celebration for our God, this idol, and every year the weather is just perfect. And when it shouldn't be perfect. And so they attributed the weather to being the idol having power over the weather. So they worship it on a specific day. A young 16-year-old boy, a new convert, looked at them and said, when is the next celebration? They said, January the 4th. And he looked at them and he said, it's going to rain all day on you. At that moment, the people got mad and said, how dare you say that? They quit listening. They closed their ears. They tried to preach. They kept preaching. They kept preaching. Well, January the 4th came, and they were still ministering there in the community, and they were praying, God, show them that you are God. And they kept praying and praying, and January the 4th, they woke up, they began to eat breakfast, and they said there wasn't a cloud in the sky. But while they were in there eating breakfast, they began to hear the tinking of rain. And they said, it didn't just rain, it poured. Now the worshipers of the idol got so upset that they went to the idol, they took the idol out, and they figured if they brought the idol outside, surely it would stop the rain. But not only did it not stop the rain, it began to rain more profusely. So much so that they dropped their god. Broke its jaw and broke its left arm. You know it's bad when you break your God. It really is bad. And they took the idol back into its little hut that they had made for it, the little shrine that they had made for it. And they the diviners of the idol said, oh, you know what? We made a mistake. It wasn't supposed to be January the 4th. It's supposed to be January the 14th. That's when we worship him. So they made a mistake. So it wasn't God that brought the rain. So they began to pray. God, we want it to be beautiful all the way up till January the 14th. And on January the 14th, we want you to bring some rain. And they began to preach throughout that whole community, it's going to rain on January the 14th by God's word. It's going to rain. And they began to preach that message to the people. And on January the 14th, when that time came, it rained horribly that day. And they were able to break through the idol worship, all because God heard the prayers of his people. I still believe that God hears me. I still believe that God wants to speak to me and that my heart and his heart can connect. And through prayer, he wants to hear my voice. And I believe that when I cry out to him, he doesn't turn a deaf ear to me, but he listens to every word I say when I pray. I am so glad that God is not a respecter of persons, that he hears all that pray. I am so glad that he doesn't hear just Elijah, but he hears me. I am so glad that he doesn't just hear Brother Schultz, but he hears me too. I am so glad that he doesn't just hear my pastor, but he hears me too. I am so thankful that he doesn't hear just the greatest preachers out there or the greatest pastors out there or the greatest evangelists out there, but when I cry, he hears just me. Amen. I am thankful that God has no respecter of persons. That if you pray, he'll hear you. Aren't you glad it's not because you got a big bank account? Aren't you glad it's not because you have the spiritual clout and some leadership ability or you have a title somewhere that makes it able for God to hear you? I am so glad he hears just me. So glad he hears just me. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm sure glad I don't have to go to a priest this morning. I'm so glad that when I cry, he hears just me. And I don't have to come to you for him to hear me. I'm so glad that when I pray, he hears me. The Bible says, oh, thou that hearest prayer. There is no respecter of persons in that. He will hear just you. And it's not because who you are. It's because of who he is. He said, I'll hear you when you cry out to me. And so because he says that, he will listen to your cry. Oh, I'm glad he is not a respecter of persons. I am so glad that it's not about physical location. I'm so glad that it's not about physical location. God is not hindered by where I'm at. You know what's beautiful about prayer? I can be praying right here, but somewhere in India, I could be praying for someone in India and God be blessing them in India by my prayer. Prayer is not about location. Matter of fact, God is so able to hear that when Cain killed Abel, when God came to Cain and said, what have you done? For your brother's blood speaks to me. He heard Abel even after he was dead and in the grave. There's no location that can stop God from hearing the cry and the heart's cry of his people. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you go to New York, he can hear you in New York. If you go into San Francisco, he can hear you in San Francisco. If you go somewhere in the deep jungles of China, he can hear you in China. God can hear your cry and hear who you are. And it's not about physical location. Matter of fact, I am so glad that God is able to overcome the physical location. I heard the beautiful story about a preacher who was preaching in a church in America. And he was praying for God to use him and to open doors in ministry in Guatemala. And he was traveling to Guatemala, and the church had blessed him with a bunch of money to go and buy supplies for preachers in Guatemala, but he had yet to know any preachers in Guatemala. He was going down there. He figured he was going to have to disciple people in Guatemala and help provide some material. Well, when he got the money from the people in America, he went to a little store in Guatemala after he got off the plane to buy Christian material, and there in the store, there was a man walking through the store, and the man come from the deep jungles. He had traveled 3 days by foot just to be there. Now, I want you to think about this. 3 days by foot just to be there. Walking through the store, he looks at the prices, and all he could afford was the cheapest of the tracks that they had. And so he picked up a few, and the preacher looks at him and notices him and asks him, "Where are you from?" And they began to converse, and finding out that he was a preacher in a little village back 3 days foot travel into the jungle. And he was there to buy material just to learn about this Jesus that he wanted to preach to the people. And he was praying all the way there that the Lord would open a door and bless him for 3 days. I want you to think about this. God had to move a man from America into the streets of Guatemala to bring money just to provide for that man so he could have the material he needed to go into the jungles of his town and begin to teach the gospel. That's how good God is at hearing and answering prayer. God is able to hear, and he is not a respecter of person, and physical location is not a hindrance to him. I know this personally as a pastor. I've been broke, and I prayed, "God, I need some money. I need some help." And somehow in the mail that day comes some money, and I don't know how that works. God knew my need before I knew my need, and somehow he brought the way and made the way possible, because God is not about physical location. He knows what's coming, and he can still move in you. Amen? He still hears your prayer. I'm so glad that God hears me, even though personal ignorance can get in the way sometimes. Personal ignorance does not hinder God's ability to hear. Personal ignorance does not limit God's ability to hear to you. "Well, I don't know the Bible." Doesn't matter. "Well, I don't know how to properly say all the eloquent words." That's actually better for you. Amen? Because then it's real. I've seen some very eloquent prayers. "Oh Lord God of heaven and earth, the one who created the sun and put the moon in place and spoke the stars into existence. Oh thou great Elohim, the El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh." And they say this eloquent prayer full of words that mean nothing from the heart, but God doesn't care about the eloquence as much as he cares about the heart. And a person who's never even heard the name Jehovah Jireh or El Shaddai or Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Nisi, or understands the idea of God Elohim, or understands all the beauty and wonder of who he is, can just say, "Lord, I need you." And God at that moment hears the cry of the hearts of those people. God doesn't judge you based on what you know. He just wants you to cry because he hears the cry of his people. Personal ignorance doesn't do it. Matter of fact, sometimes I think that the arrogant really turn God off. Story in the Bible where two men were praying, the publican and the sinner were praying. And the sinner laid down, wouldn't even lift his head to heaven, but just cried, "Oh Lord, please forgive me." But that religious person said, "I'm glad I'm not like that man. I'm glad I fast twice a week. I'm glad that I give." And he was boasting in all that he had done, and he had lost track of what it meant to his heart to cry out to God. Listen, if you think God hears you more because you give in the offering plate, you are wrong. If you think God hears you more because you have a title, you are wrong. If you think God will bless you just because you come to this church, you are wrong. God hears you when you pray, and prayer is the key to all the things of God. If you want to be blessed, then pray till you're blessed. If you want the Holy Ghost, then pray till you get the Holy Ghost. If you need a touch from God in your body, pray until the touch comes. Prayer is the key. It's not about any of those things. Physical location can't do it. Personal ignorance won't do it. It's none of those things can stop God from hearing you. He can hear your cry. God's ears are not plugged because of our failures. I want you to catch that. God's ears are not plugged because of our failures. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to tell you God will not hear you because of what you have done or what you have not done. I've seen good Christian people, people who love God, make mistakes. Colossal mistakes. Life-altering mistakes. And still yet, God hears their prayer. He hears their prayer because God said, I'll hear them. And when God said he's going to hear the prayer, he's going to hear it. It's not because of your personal failures, but the devil wants you not to pray, so he'll tell you, because you have failed, why even try? Why even give prayer a shot? Why give it a chance? I'm telling you, give it a chance. I'm telling you, it's one of the best remedies to every failure you'll ever have is to fall on your knees before God and just say, Lord, hey, man, I made some mistakes here. I've really messed this up. Have you ever messed up? I know you all have, and you're not confessing, all of you. You all have made mistakes. You've all messed up. You've all slipped in an area here and there. Sometimes have you ever been doing good? And when you're doing good, all of a sudden the devil set up a trap and then you ain't doing so good? And the enemy will try to tell you, God ain't going to hear you. Look, you slipped. You made mistakes. You failed. You're not, God isn't going to listen to you because you have betrayed his love. And the enemy will tell you those foolish lies. And I want you to know that he hears the prayer of his people. And so when you cry out, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done. The Bible says, oh, thou that hearest prayer, all flesh shall come to you. Maybe you're not right with God. I said, maybe you're not right with God this morning. Maybe your heart's not in the right place. Maybe you haven't surrendered your heart to the Lord as you should. Maybe the Lord's dealt with you and you've refused him. Preacher, will God still hear me when I pray? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. More than you even know, he longs to hear from you. The parable that I love so dearly is the prodigal son. And what I love about the story of the prodigal son, yes, the prodigal son is beautiful and him coming home, and yes, the elder brother realizing that he always could have a party with God is beautiful. But what's more beautiful than anything in the story is that the father was always looking for the son. More beautiful than anything in the story. And what that tells me is that God is ready and willing to hear from you. And what I love so dearly is that he didn't even wait till the son came and knocked on the door and asked for forgiveness. He saw him afar off. And he recognized him with the stink of a pig pen on him, with all the mess of the world still in his life. The father ran to him. All God needs to hear is help, and he'll run to you. All God needs to hear is, Lord, I done messed this up, and he'll come to you. God's ears are not plugged because of your failures. If there's anything true about God, his ears are more intent because he's waiting to hear from you. Eagerly waiting to hear from you. I want you to think about this. The testimony of knowing God hears our prayer only comes to those who pray. Think about that for a moment. The testimony of knowing God hears our prayers only comes to those who pray. How are you going to know God hears your prayer if you never pray? Or if you quit the first time and, oh, nothing happened. I think one of the most dangerous things for Christians to do is come down and pray and say, Lord, I really need you to do this. I need you to do this. And they pray for 5 minutes, and then they don't pray about it anymore. Or they don't even bring it up anymore. You know what that tells God? It really didn't matter to you. Amen? You want to know something about my children? They have mastered the art of begging. They have. They have mastered the art of getting me to stop places I would never stop. Buy things I didn't even want to buy. Eat things my body says I should not eat. But because my children beg me and say, Dad, Baskin and Robbins, Dad. Baskin and Robbins, Dad. Dad, you know you want to shake, Dad. Dad, you know it. And they know that if I want to shake, they get a shake. And so they beg me to the store. And you know what? What they've done is they've learned that as we're driving down Stockton Hill from Gordon, that they beg for Sonic until we pass it. And then they beg for Baskin and Robbins until we pass that. And then they beg for In-N-Out until we pass that. And when we pass it, you know what they do? They look at the store and they go, oh, there it goes. There it goes. Am I wrong, baby? Right? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? But they have learned that by asking me and asking me and asking me and asking me, that they start just tugging on that little heartstring that just loves them so much. And when the hardest thing is when my baby, Brianna, looks at me in the eyes and says, Daddy, I want a slush. Oh, I just melt. That little girl's got me wrapped around her little pinky finger. I mean, she just looks at me right, and I'm going to buy her whatever she wants. And I go, okay, so I will stop and get them what they want. Some of you already know where I'm going. I will stop and get them what they want because they asked and they kept asking and they kept asking and they kept asking and they kept asking and they kept asking, even to the moment that we were passing it, they kept on asking because they thought, if I keep tugging, maybe he'll give it to me. If I keep tugging, maybe I'll get it. If I keep tugging, maybe he'll listen. I want you to know something. You better keep tugging. Amen? Touch your neighbor, tell him, keep tugging. You gotta keep tugging. Keep pulling on that prayer. Keep pulling on it and say, Lord, I want that slushy for myself. Amen? Figure of speech. Amen? I want it for myself. Lord, keep tugging. I want you to know you will have great testimonies of answered prayer once you start praying. I can tell you, I could sit up here and just do nothing but testimonies of when God showed up in answer to prayer. Because he always shows up. He always shows up. I'm even thankful for the times he shows up and I wasn't even ready to pray. But that's another message. Amen. Listen to this. The weight of your prayer does not hinder God's ability to hear you. The weight of your prayer does not affect God's ability to hear you. I've heard Christians say, well, it's just a small thing. Everything in God can be cried out upon. It's just a flat tire. Why should I pray over my flat tire? I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have went flat if you'd been praying for your car. Amen. Maybe you pray and God will send the right person by. Amen. What do you mean, pray? Oh, pray. The Bible says in everything by prayer. Everything. Everything. Now I want you to think about that. What is everything? Everything. Amen. Sickness, pray. Car breakdown, pray. House fall apart, pray. Washing machine die, pray. Amen. Dishwasher leaking in the house, pray. Dog ate the couch, pray. Kids run over fingers on skateboard, pray. Amen. Everything, prayer. Everything, prayer. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing is too small for God. Well, it's just a little ache. I'll get over this. Then just pray about it. God cares even about the little things in your life. I have found that when I take those little things that are meaningless all the time to the Lord, that sometimes the blessings of the Lord are waiting for me to cry out to Him. Sometimes the blessings of the Lord are waiting for me the moment I bring that little thing to God. But not only the little things, but what about the heavy things? We got some heavy stuff, don't we, friends? If we were to talk about our children or our past or our loved ones or talk about the church as a whole or talk about your own friends that you know that need something, there's some heavy stuff that you can pray about. Matter of fact, there have been some things that have been so heavy that I've even said to myself in my mind, I don't know if God can do this one. How many have ever said it in your own mind? This is going to be tough. I remember one of the first persons, the first people I won to God. She was a young lady, and I grew up with her. Her brother, her family knew them very well. They knew me very well. Well, I gave my life to Christ. And it was obvious that I had changed. And so I began to witness to both of them. And I remember her being so hard. I mean, so hard that she even cursed God right in front of me. That's how hard she was. And I remember going to the Lord in prayer and going, well, we're going to scrap that one. She's done. I gave up on her. I gave up on her. I said, you know what, Lord, I guess she wants hell, so give it to her. How many of you have ever been that way? You wanted to give up on someone because you just didn't see it happening. That's what I was doing. I was giving up. I gave up hope. Oh, it's impossible. They're so hard. They're so rough. They can't do it. Matter of fact, I even told her, don't call me no more. I'm not picking up. You want to come to church? You got 2 feet, walk. That's what I told her. I told her that because she cursed my God right in front of me. And I was mad and angry. I went home. I began to pray. You know what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart? The Spirit of the Lord said, the one that seems so far away is the one that needs me the most. And they're closer to me than you even imagine. So I kept praying, and I'd call and witness to them on a nightly basis and talk to them about the Lord, and I didn't even call. I quit calling. It was like a Wednesday night when something happened. I forget the timing, but I remember it was a Saturday night. They called me, and they said, can you please pick us up for church? Well, I had prayed through enough to say, okay. So I went and I picked him up for church. And you know what? That night, she sat there throughout the song service. She wept and she cried. When the preaching started, she wept and she cried. She just cried and cried and cried and cried. And I knew, I'm like, man, the Lord's really doing something here. She looked at me and she said, when the altar call came, she said, will you go with me to the altar? I said, yes. She went down, she gave her heart to Jesus and gloriously gave her life to Christ. A new creature in Christ Jesus from that moment. It was a beautiful thing to see, but in my mind, it was a weighty matter. It was too heavy. It was too heavy. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's rhetorical because I already know you know the answer, and it's obvious. Is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there anything too small that He don't care about? No, God cares, and the weight of it does not matter. Bring it to the Lord, and He will hear your heart's cry. Bring it to Him. Don't hold it in your heart, but release it to God. The weight of it is not an issue. Maybe the weight is in your own life. Maybe the weight is in your own heart. and you won't let that go. You won't let that past go. You won't let the hurt go. You won't let what was said go. And the weight is in you. It doesn't stop God from hearing you. He still hears you. He still hears you. And he cares. He cares. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Now think about that. We as preachers, and we've heard it for years in church. I want you to hear that. God cares for you. He cares for you. Cast all your care, all of it, every bit of it, every little thing, every mighty thing, every weighty thing, cast it on the Lord. He cares. He cares for you. And if you give it to him, he'll take care of it. The testimony of knowing God answers prayer will come the moment you say, Lord, this is yours. I can't deal with this. Show me. Show me. Hallelujah. Terry, come to the piano. I'm going to end with this. I want you to know this. Everybody in this place this morning, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. God hears you. Three words. God hears you. That's my whole message right there. I could have just said that at the beginning and shut it all down, because that's the whole message. God hears you. He's not ignoring you. It doesn't matter the pitch in which you say it. It doesn't matter if you don't even say the words, you just say it in your heart. Maybe you say it in your mind. Maybe your lips move, but no words come out. He still hears it. God hears you.